Sleeper Wire, the only fantasy football radio show with more than a dozen multi-time, multi-league, multi-year champions. Listen to the Sleeper Wire show every Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Dash Talk.
Welcome, everybody, to an episode of the Sleeper Wire Show. Yeah. Woo! That's right. I am your host, Nick Summerall, and with me today is my co-host, Dirty Jobs Mike.
What has happened, Nick? How are we doing this evening?
I'm good, man. It's been a while since I've been on the show. Work has been, I work shift work, so sometimes I just can't make it. But this week I'm here. I'll probably be on for the next few weeks. You know, getting some breaks from shifts, as long as overtime is not coming in. Otherwise, I'm taking it. And sorry, guys, you will not hear my docile, sexy tones.
I think we can all understand that. A little overtime goes a long way, man. So
yeah, and I get and it's always 8 hour shifts of overtime. So it's like it's not even like 1 or 2 hours. Like no, I have to take a full shift of overtime. So yeah, there's no way I can turn that kind of money down.
Yep, I get that.
So we are here starting off week 6. We're recording during the Thursday night game. Who knows who's going to win this one? It's going to be a big one, though. Eagles versus Carolina. Two teams go into this game 4-1. So, obviously you're going to hear this after the Thursday night game has already commenced. But who do you think wins tonight, Mike?
I think Carolina pulls it off. I think they've got the better team. I truly do. I think that they've proved it.
I think that it's only because of the home advantage. I'm going to give this game unfortunately, though, I think it's going to be like an ugly game, like one, you know, like most Thursday night games are. So, like, who's going to, so do you think Carolina's going to be like a blowing them out type of a situation?
You know, I'm with you on the Thursday night action. I think it's going to be maybe something like 21-17, something to that effect. I don't think there's going to be the high explosive, high octane game everybody's counting on.
See, I disagree. I think it's going to be like something gross, like a 29-7 type of game for Carolina. I mean, I just think
I
it's going to be
it.
Nasty.
I can yeah. definitely see that happening.
Yeah, I mean, either way, I know the Eagles have a pretty high octane offense. I mean, look at what Carson Wentz did last week. What did he threw for 4 touchdowns last week, if I'm not mistaken.
Three,
I don't have the numbers right in front of him. 3, was it?
Yeah.
I thought he threw for more last week. We'll go ahead and double check that. But and all I remember is he had a big game last week. I was watching the numbers go by, and I was like, damn, this offense. And Carson Wentz looking pretty damn good. Looking pretty damn good. And with it being two-man show, guys, I mean, we're going to be doing, you know, talking about news and really just kind of talking about some of the main headlines for some of these games. I'm going to be muting my computer because, of course, things just have to happen.
It was 4 touchdowns. You were correct.
I was correct. See, that's what I thought. Okay. So, yeah. So, 4 touchdowns for Carson Wentz last week. But, yeah, like I'm saying, I mean, we're going to see what happens, obviously, after this has already been recorded. But, hey, I want to get your thoughts since you seem to be the only other person somewhat interested in the Bears and this crew. What did you think of Trubisky's debut?
There was a lot of stuff that I liked about it. There was a lot of stuff that I didn't care that didn't really pass the eye test, I guess. But he's brand new to that system. So with that out there, I think he's actually going to be a pretty serviceable quarterback for that team. I don't think that they're going to do anything fantastic or anything crazy like that, but I think he's actually a fairly decent quarterback.
See, here's my thoughts is like if he had even like one wide receiver, I think he'd be, you know, a ton better than what we saw on Monday night. I mean, my God, look at who he had to throw to.
Yeah, I think we talked about that in the group me, and I think I'd mentioned something about, man, having Kendall Wright as your number one, that is not a good day. You're not having a good time. And I mean,
no,
when you've got Rhodes looking like, who do I cover? Like, or do I even have to cover anybody here?
Yeah, I mean, and the thing was, is like, in the beginning, he looked strong. You know, he started to fade a little bit towards the second half, making some rookie mistakes. You know, I mean, tomahawk fumble, there's nothing you could really do about that. I mean, we knew the Vikings had a great defense. And but, you know, I thought it was a decent debut. I don't think it was anything to get ecstatic over. But then again, I mean, look at Deshaun Watson. He didn't look great his first game. I mean, he played the Bengals.
Right, and I mean, that's the Bengals, and this was the Vikings. So that's when I had talked about him last week, I had said, make sure that you don't tamper your expectations too much on what he does on Monday night, because Minnesota is just dreadfully tough. They're a hard-hitting team.
Right, and, you know, you have to understand, too, like, you know, the Bears always play Vikings tough. I mean, it was a defensive battle for most of that game, you know, even though Jordan Howard should have had that 42-yard touchdown that would have won me the game. Although it was a bad, stupid penalty. That's what I hate about some of these referees, man. You know, they're calling some really bad calls this season, and I'm not really standing for it.
Oh, the officiating this year has just been terrible. It's just shocking to see people that are supposedly professionals making calls like that. And then they get it wrong in New York, too. It just baffles me.
Right, and now you've got these referees that are supposed to be full-time. And, you know, this is what we have. Come on. Come on, NFL. Do better.
Right.
All right. So let's break into the news. I got my Trubisky thing out of there because I'm excited as a Bears fan. It's about time we had some kind of hope, especially after the first 4 weeks of seeing Glennon. But let's get into the news, man. So the first thing I want to talk about is Adrian Peterson getting traded to the Cardinals. That's pretty exciting news if maybe you were hanging on to Adrian Peterson, still hoping for him to do something. I don't know if he's going to because of this, but you got to believe there's a better chance for him to, you know, maybe have some resurgence in his fantasy value than what he had over there in New Orleans. What do you think about this move, Mike?
You know, I think it was a good move for Adrian Peterson. I think it was a good move for Arizona. The one thing that kind of keeps me on the fence about it is that he has an average of 2.5 yards per carry, and some of those aren't against tough matchups. I mean, he should have been able to tote the rock a little harder. So if they give him 20, 30 carries, who knows what he can do? He's kind of one of those consistent backs that kind of build that momentum as the game goes on. So I think he could actually be pretty good there. But I hope he does better than he did in New Orleans.
Well, that's the thing, is he never got going in New Orleans because they never gave him that opportunity to do what he did with Minnesota. And as you said, I mean, he's a guy that it took time for him to get going. He's not a type that, oh, you give him 5-10 carries, he's going to make the most of those opportunities. No, no, no. He needs 20, 30 touches. And that's where you're going to see a game where he could get, you know, 150 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns. You know, because that's what he did. He'd break big ones off because he was getting the ball so many times. But the problem is that Arizona has Andre Ellington, who's certainly going to see the third down work.
Right.
So I think that's going to handicap his stats, too.
Yeah, I see that. And I also see, like, not this week. I wouldn't rock him out this week. I'd put him on my bench and see what he does. I think Ellington's a great start this week as a result. But, yeah, I'm going to keep my eye on him. I hope he does good. I'd love to see Adrian Peterson do good again.
Does well.
Yeah.
Does well.
Do well.
Not does good. All right, so we're saying don't start Adrian Peterson this week, guys. You know, waivers have passed at this point. But if he's still out there, he's a good pickup. He should have been picked up this week and stashed on benches. That's what I would say across all leagues. Well, across 12 man or deeper leagues.
Absolutely.
All right, let's go ahead to the next bit of news, and it's another headache. Ezekiel Elliott suspension reinstated for now. I mean, because that's just the way this has gone. Well, luckily for the Zeke owners, you don't have to worry about this week. But you might have to worry about it for the rest of the season, because if he truly is suspended for 6 games after this bye, you are really not going to have him until the championship game in most leagues. And at that point, why even bother?
Man, yeah, you're going to see him get dumped on a lot. That puts him back what? Because next week, week 7, so it'd be week 13, week 14 he comes back. So you're
right for playoffs. So not championship game. I'm sorry, but yeah, but you wouldn't get him back till the playoffs.
Right, till the playoffs. I mean, so yeah, he's probably worth a stash, especially if you got a playoff worthy team and you think you're gonna make it. Am I the only one out there that hopes that this suspension holds just so we can get it over with?
I mean, you might be, although I could see some people who may have him and be like, man, the rest of my team stinks so bad, there's no way I'm making it to playoffs, so we might as well just get this over with. You know?
Right.
I mean, there might be teams that are keeper. You know, they have him as their keeper. They want it just to be done this season. So next season, maybe this year you got him for a steal. Maybe he dropped to the third round and he's your keeper now and you keep him in the third round. That's great value for next season.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so there's a lot of scenarios where this could play out, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, he's still a great back. He's still going to come back to the NFL eventually. And who knows, he might not even sit.
Right, because the thing is, the way it's stated is that, I'm not going to get into all the technical terms here, but, you know, they said that basically his injunction for his appeal for the suspension has been lifted, so that now he has to serve the suspension unless he finds a different court system to file another injunction, I believe is the situation.
Wow.
So he could file another appeal through another system and try to get it appealed again. That's why this, that's why I said for now.
Yeah.
Because this thing may not be over.
I just hope it is.
I'm not saying that, like, you know, he did or didn't do what he's been accused of doing. I mean, cause there's such a lack of evidence. You really can't say one way or the other, but you know, it's wrong what the NFL has tried to do here. But at this point, I think Zeke should just take his lumps and just, you know, just serve it at this point, because there's really, unfortunately, really no way, it seems like, to get out of this.
Right. Yeah, I agree 100%. You know, it's not, there's absolutely no way that if he actually hit a woman that this shouldn't happen. I mean, this should happen if he did. If he didn't and he's just getting a tough break from the whole deal, then so be it. It doesn't look like he's going to get out of it. It doesn't look like it's going to avoid him. What's done is done. He's just got to do his time, smile, and move on. And hopefully never has an occurrence like this in the future.
Right. But as a fantasy standpoint, though, you got to look at what's been happening and say to yourself, people were saying Darren McFadden. I say it's Alfred Morris.
I agree. I think it's Alfred Morris, too. He's been getting the majority of the work with
Zeke. He's been active.
Yeah, absolutely.
Darren McFadden hasn't even been active in some game. He's been inactive, you know, yep. A healthy scratch.
A healthy scratch. Yeah, that's – and so anybody who's hopping on that Darren McFadden train, I'm curious as to why. I don't see him taking over that backfield. Plus, I feel like Alfred Morris is the better back anyways.
Exactly. Less miles on Alfred Morris. I mean, he's looked good in the limited role he's played there. They still have a top offensive line, so he should get production. Yeah, guys, it's got to be Alfred Morris. He's out there in a ton of leagues. I say you definitely got to pick him up if you haven't already, especially you Ezekiel Elliott owners. Got to go pick him up. All right. Tyreek Hill appears on the injury report today, Thursday, with a hamstring injury. Yikes. Ugh. That's not good for a wide receiver, but he did participate in limited fashion, which leads me to believe he is going to play this weekend. And another thing is, too, the good news is Travis Kelce was a full participant and removed off the injury report.
Yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, what do you think, Mike? Definitely Tyreek Hill is going to play this week, you think?
Yeah, he's seeming like, I hope so. It doesn't seem like that is stopping him too much. And if he's already limited today, I think by tomorrow we'll know that he's going to be more of a participant in practice. So I'm thinking he's rolling out. And I'm excited Kelce already wiped off that concussion. That guy's a beast.
Yeah, man. So that's great news. Damn it. Somebody already picked up Alfred Morris in this one league.
Oh, dude, I was way too late on all of them.
Yeah, right? Jeez. Damn it. All right, well, it is what it is, I suppose. In other news, Tyler Eifert, having back surgery, will be out for the season. moving on in is Tyler Kroft as the guy to own there as far as your tight end is concerned. Not really anything newsworthy about this. Just felt like I should mention it just because, I mean, this is just typical Tyler Eifert stuff every season.
Right. Yep. That's why we tried to tell you to avoid him in the draft.
Yeah. So here's my question, because I wasn't on the Monday show, but, you know, they announced Brandon Marshall out for the year. Odell Beckham, as we already know, out for the year. You know, even Dwayne Harris broke his foot, going to be out for an extended amount of time. With Sterling Shepard, I haven't seen the reports, or I didn't really do as much digging as I should have. The Sterling Shepard, is he just like a sprained ankle?
He was seen in a walking boot at yesterday's practice, was the last I heard about him. It's not looking good for him to play this weekend. But either way, even if he plays this weekend, he's playing against the Broncos. Probably not going to be a good situation. I'm calling for the Broncos to score 100 points on defense this year or this week.
This is why. Oh, so speaking of that, I'm going to go off my own little thing here, because in my one league, oh, was I excited. So last week, Denver was on a bye. Somebody dropped Denver Broncos defense.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And the team is really dumb. So I went and I snatched them up right away. I mean, I still have Panthers defense. So, like, it's not like I was struggling for defenses, but I was like, hey, one of the best defenses out there in the league, you know, I got to pick.
Yeah.
If not the, I have to go pick them up. So I picked them up. So I'm excited to play the Giants this week now after all the injuries, which is, it's unfortunate that they do have all those injuries, but, you know, I'm excited as a fantasy owner to have the Denver defense against them. And now I got to go, because Dak's on a bye, I got to pick up Trevor Siemian, because just released on waivers. So, yeah, that could be a big Monday night blowout for the Broncos, man. I'm hoping.
It would really surprise me, because who's their wide receiver one in this game? I mean, we're talking about the ice cold Bud Light guy at this point.
Like, yeah. I mean, that was going to be my thing, though, is like, is there a guy, though, really on this team who you're going to want as your receiver? I mean, going forward.
Evan Ingram. That's it.
Evan Ingram, that's it. I mean, do you think Shane Vereen maybe gets more involved?
I think Shane Vereen is also another fine pickup, because he will see a lot more production. I mean, they're going to have to run the ball. And again, I mean, they're just nobody to throw to. You're looking at fourth and fifth string wide receivers. You're pulling people off the practice squad. I mean, these guys, yeah, they could come out and do good, but there's a reason that they were on the practice squad in the first place.
Right. I mean, you know, we did see Roger Lewis, you know, get that touchdown in the Charger game. Listen, there's going to be some garbage time production. My guess is it's this guy, Roger Lewis, that kind of emerges as the number one, maybe, or the number two, at least behind Evan Ingram, possibly. They're going to have to work on that, though, because Eli's really has not been a guy who's had to rely on his tight end, you know, not at least in the numbers that we've seen in other teams, you know, relying on their tight end, not like the Patriots, for example. You know what I mean?
Right. Yep, I completely agree.
All right. So we'll keep an eye on that. And speaking of the Patriots, good news, guys, if you have Tom Brady or Gronkowski, they are playing against the New York Jets. So
yes.
What a surprise to see of the two New York teams who's 0-5, huh?
Yeah, right.
I mean, I mean, listen, they're 3-2. I mean, it's actually going to be an interesting game. Going into Sunday, Patriots and Jets all tied up there. I mean, you had the Bills are also 3-2. It's interesting over there, outside of, you know, Miami, I guess.
Yeah, Miami's the dull spot of the map.
Yeah, and I mean, they're even 2-2, but they don't feel like a 2-2 team.
No. And they still have Cutler as their quarterback.
Yeah. So that's it for the news, guys. It's very little news, but we're going to go and break into some of these storylines going into your Sunday and possibly even Monday night games. We'll see how much time we can get into these games. So we just mentioned Miami. So they're playing the Falcons. You know, you're going to start your obvious guys like your Matt Ryan, your Devontae Freeman, your Julio Jones. You probably don't have many great options out, you know, over Jay Ajayi, so you're probably going to have to start a guy like Jay Ajayi this week. Devontae Parker, Jarvis Landry, I mean, are you starting them? Are you starting any other Falcons receivers? Is there any guys that I didn't mention? You know, even Matt Ryan I should have mentioned too. You're probably starting him. But is there anybody else I didn't mention that you can think of, Mike, that you would say start or sit this week?
You know, with Julio Jones still kind of having lingering issues, although it does look like he's going to play this week, I don't like it anytime he has issues. It seems like he'll go out and play and he'll be a decoy. A person I really like is Taylor Gabriel and Austin Hooper this week. Atlanta coming off of a bye week. It should be a fairly productive game. I think they can really shut down that Miami offense, and I think the Atlanta offense will be on the field a lot more. I like basically everything from Atlanta. I like Tevin Coleman. I like Devonta Freeman, Julio Jones. I like them all.
Yeah, and Atlanta's defense. I would definitely sneak them in if you know, maybe you have a defense on a bye or something. What do you think?
I picked them up. I picked up Falcons in a lot of leagues this week, so I'm right there on board with you.
Yeah, I mean, this game being played in Atlanta, it doesn't look good for Miami. I mean, you probably don't have many better options than Devontae Parker or Jarvis Landry at this point. So like I said, I mean, you're probably going to have to start these guys. And as I mentioned to Jay Ajayi, I mean, I know from being a Bears fan that Jay Cutler stinks, but I didn't think he was going to be this bad for the Dolphins. I thought they had a pretty good offense around him, but that just goes to tell you, Jay Cutler sucks. And we said it all along for the Bears. He was not a good quarterback.
I said it as a Broncos fan, and I was happy when you guys took him from the Bears.
yeah, that was not good. But you got Kyle Orton.
Yeah, that wasn't the best move either.
yeah, not like you got a stud in return. Like, oh, we stole one from the Bears.
Orton is still better than Cutler. I'd go there.
Oh, I don't think so. There's no way. I can't admit that because Orton didn't start for a team.
Right, you know. Fair enough.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on. My Chicago Bears going to the Baltimore Ravens. This is an interesting game. I'd say probably you're going to want to start the Ravens defense, unfortunately, just because, you know, with the limitations on this offense right now, it's not looking good. A rookie quarterback playing in a tough environment. As a Bears fan, I'm certainly hoping the opposite happens. So if it does, sorry that I told you to start Ravens defense, but I'm sure nothing like that is going to take place here. One guy I'm going to tell you though, as a Bears fan, because I know the sleepers to know on the Bears, Tanner Gentry, the wide receiver that they had signed to the practice squad, they moved up this week to the main roster. Not only because is the wide receiving corps so bad that it really doesn't matter, but in preseason, we saw Tanner Gentry really developing chemistry with Mitchell Trubisky. And, you know, if anything's going to help him, it's getting him the guys he feels the most comfortable around. So, and this guy looked good in preseason. So I would keep my eyes on Tanner Gentry this week.
Excellent. The only other thing I have to say about this game is that I like a few Baltimore Ravens. I don't think that it's going to be like a huge scoring game. I think it's going to be pretty mellow, pretty low scoring, defensive kind of shootout. I like Macklin this week, and I like Buck Allen. I think that those guys could be, you know, they're not going to do anything spectacular, but they're going to be serviceable backs. I think they're going to do just fine.
So what do you think of the situation, though, between Alex Collins and Javorius Allen? I mean, do you think that Buck Allen's just basically the starter and Alex Collins really serves no purpose there?
I see kind of a two-headed back split right there. I think Alex Collins does do fairly well. I actually don't mind actually starting him this week either. I think Buck Allen definitely gets the lion's share of the carries. He gets the majority of the workload, but I just don't see him getting 100% of it. You know, he's going to need to have that split. And Collins has really been looking good. He's been looking sharp. He's been getting yardage. Consistent about 86 yards every week. So,
yeah, I mean, I'm looking at his stats here. I mean, he's got 37 carries, 261 yards for 7.1 yards per carry.
Yeah,
which is just, it's ridiculous. I mean, you know, and then, you know, listen, guys, I'm going to tell you, I mean, keep starting Jordan Howard. You're probably limited on options. I know he wasn't the best last week, but let's remember, I mean, He did have a 42-yard touchdown that was called back due to bullshit call. So he has been good this season. You know, I'm not saying like, oh, he's a bust, because I really don't believe that. Four touchdowns, 328 rushing yards. You know, he's clearly, even with Tariq Cohen back there, I mean, he's still been the workhorse. 4 yards per carry is not bad right now. It's not his 5.2 of last season, but still only 5 weeks, and arguably probably even a worse team around him than he had last year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. By a bunch.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, with teams on a bye this week, you know, I wouldn't be opposed to maybe slipping in like a Kendall Wright into your flex. Ugh. It's kind of gross, but yeah, I mean, if you're really low on options, you had injuries, you know, it's in deeper leagues, definitely I would start him. But that's just, you know, that's just something I just wanted to mention for deep leagues, just to make it feel like the Bears have something. And like I said, remember the name Tanner Gentry, because I think this guy is somebody maybe down the road we could be talking about as a pickup. All right, enough about Bears. I'll move on. Browns, Texans. Start your Texans, and I don't know what's up with this Browns team. It's just the same every year, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you kind of looked like they were turning it around there for a minute, and then they just kind of came out and decided to be the same Browns that they always are. That's just too bad, too, because I liked a lot of their plays. I really like David Njoku. I still feel like he's a good start this weekend. Other than that, I'm really not too – and I like Duke Johnson, too. I'm off the Isaiah Crowell train for a while now. I think don't drop him, but stash him. I did drop him in a few leagues, and I'm kind of regretting doing that, because you should never drop a running back midseason. But I'm still feeling pretty good about it, because he hasn't been doing anything that makes me happy. But every Texan – on the other hand, now, Cleveland does have a fairly sneaky rush defense, so I'm not really high on Lamar, but I'm really high on Deshaun Watson. I'm really high on Hopkins. I even like Will Fuller a little bit, and I like Ryan Griffith, too.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I want to look back. Who has Cleveland played this season? You know, they played against, the Jets last week, right?
Right.
Who else they play against? So I just want to see who the hell their schedule has been against, because I mean, I just feel like they haven't played against really any great running teams lately, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, that's why I'm just saying, like you say, they got a decent run defense. I'm just wondering if, well, they did play the Steelers. So they did have Le'Veon Bell to deal with, I suppose. It's interesting. I don't like Lamar Miller either this week. I'm hoping that Lamar Miller doesn't do well, because, you know, I'm playing against him. but here's the thing. You know what's interesting, Mike, is that, you know, I like Duke Johnson a lot too. And did you know that Duke Johnson, of their receiving options, is the most targeted receiving option they have?
I did not.
According to fantasypros.com, he is seeing 31 targets this season, and last week was his lowest with 3 targets. So I don't know what that was about, but I mean, he has seen, you know, 5, 6, 7, and 10 the week before. I would think that he would see more targets again this week. I don't think it's wise for them to get away from Duke Johnson if he's being productive with his touches.
Yeah, to me, he's just being the better back. I mean, he's just out there being the better back. That's what he's doing. I think he's being better than Isaiah Crowell, and I think he actually probably takes that job.
Probably does. Green Bay, Minnesota Vikings. Big game here, guys. So, you know, you're starting just about everybody here. Jerick McKinnon had a big game against the Bears. Part of that, though, I think is just the Bears' run defense isn't that great. But then again, I mean, not like the Packers are rolling anything out that's scary either. So do you think Jerick McKinnon going forward is the guy here?
I do. Yeah, I think he showed up way better than Latavius Murray did. He seemed way faster, had the spark to him. Latavius Murray just looks slow and old to me, which is weird because he's not really all that old. He just didn't look it. I know he's not 100% either.
Right. I mean, that's something to look at too. But yeah, I mean, right now you got to say you got to feel comfortable putting in Jerick McKinnon if you lost Dalvin Cook or, you know, lost any of these running backs that have been injured for the season. So feel comfortable there. And the other guy on the other side of the of the game is Aaron Jones. He looked great against Dallas. So what do we say about him this week? I mean, is Ty Montgomery even going to be back this week?
I don't believe so. It doesn't look like it's not trending towards the way that he is. And I've also seen a lot of reports that say, even if he is, he might have lost his job.
I would be surprised if he lost his job from one game of Aaron Jones. Because Ty Montgomery's looked good this season.
He has, but I think that Jones looked better. And I think he fits that offense better. And I think the coach saw that too. I think you'll see a good hefty dose of him this week. And if he can do it again, I would be really worried about Ty Montgomery.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. If Aaron Jones can look this good again against the Vikings, you know, mind you, too, who have a pretty damn good run defense in general. So I would say if he's able to do similar to what he did against Dallas, yeah, he might be one of the pickups of this season. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
All right, guys, so let's move along here. We got Detroit, New Orleans. I don't know what happened to Detroit's defense last week against those Eagles. I mean,
against the Panthers?
Oh, Panthers, excuse me. I knew
they're,
it was
they're
one
getting
of the
ready
two
to
teams
play
playing
the Eagles.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, against the Panthers, though. I mean, they, you know, they've had a pretty respectable passing defense, but their corners just couldn't stop anything going. Do you think that was just kind of fluky, or do you think that against New Orleans in New Orleans, we'll see somewhat of the same situation for that Detroit defense?
Yeah, I do not like playing against Drew Brees at home. I think he can light any team up. I don't care how good your defense is. I think he can still light you up. So I do not think that they – I think they have a great defense. I think that they just got outmatched, outwitted, and outplayed by Cam Newton last week. I mean, simple as that. I feel like they just got outplayed by Cam Newton. I don't see a huge bounce back for their defense this week because – Drew Brees is not, especially after a bye week, he's no fun. He can light you up. So I'm going with New Orleans to win that game pretty heftily.
Yeah. And do you know if Willie Snead's supposed to be back this week?
Willie Snead is limited in practice right now. They're saying if he does come back, it'll be in a very limited fashion. So stash him, hold him, don't start him this week.
All right. There you go. So it's good for you guys to know who've been waiting to start Willie Snead. This is not the week, but looking pretty good week for Michael Thomas, which I have just about in every league.
Nice.
So, yeah, well, we'll see.
He'll be primarily covered by Darius Slay. So, I mean, Darius Slay got hosed last week. We'll see if it happens again this week.
We'll see. I don't know. I mean, that's the thing that sucks is he's going to see number one coverage, and I don't know how it's going to work out. But hopefully he can work around it. Here's a big division rivalry game, guys. New England going to Jersey to fight the New York Jets. You know, it's funny. The Jets always play the Patriots pretty competitively. And with the way that Patriots defense looks, I mean, geez, you might want to start a couple guys here from this Jets offense, no?
You know, I thought they looked pretty good last week, the defense of the New England Patriots. But I'm still feeling pretty good about Curse. I like ASJ. I like Elijah McGuire this week. It doesn't look like Forte or Powell are playing, so roll him out. I think he'll be serviceable. I don't think he's going to do anything spectacular. I don't think he's going to be the primary back of that team for very long. I mean, he's just a good shoe-in, especially if you're covering up a bye week. This is the week to use him. New England, Tom Brady and Gronk back. Yeah, buddy. Amendola, I'm rocking him out there. I'm thinking this is going to be a high-scoring affair. I think these guys are going to just shoot it out. I think it's going to be a great football game. I'm very excited about this one.
Yeah, it's going to be a good football game. I'm just not sure fantasy-wise if you're going to have a lot going on in this game. I mean, yeah, like we said, it could be one of those really surprising, like kind of, you know, high-scoring games just because the defenses aren't all that great. But it could also be one of those – it could be like a 21-17 kind of game. You know, like some good fantasy production here and there, but nothing that's going to like, oh, my God, my team blew up because I had these players from this game.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I'm not seeing anything spectacular. I'm just, like I said, serviceable. You'll get some good serviceable numbers out of those guys.
Yeah, start your Patriots. I'm not a big fan of starting Gillislee this week. I don't think it's a good matchup for him. Pretty good run defense. What are you thinking?
I agree. I haven't really liked what I've been seeing out of Gillis Lee. Like, it was great when they were getting him into the red zone and getting those looks, but he's just been getting stuffed now. I mean, they haven't been able to open holes for him, or he hasn't been able to find the holes. To me, Deion Lewis is looking better over there every week, and I know I've been really high on him all offseason and all season, but he's really been looking good, and I think he's going to start stealing some carries. I do still honestly feel like he is the best back out there.
Yeah, I mean, he's been playing pretty well. The only problem is they got James White there, and they're basically very similar players. The one thing I'm noticing is, so I'm looking at the numbers here. I mean, James White, 20 attempts rushing, Deion Lewis, 19. But Deion Lewis has a 5.2 yards per carry average. James White, 3.8. However, in the receiving game, James White, 29 catches to Deion Lewis's 7.
Right. See, and I mean, he's just been starting to barely get involved. And I think he's a way better back than James White.
I kind of disagree with that. I mean, I think Deion Lewis can be a little more explosive. If that, you know, I would agree that he's a little more explosive, but I don't think he's better. I think James White is a crisper route runner as far as receiving is concerned.
I can give you that. Like, he might be the better receiver. I just think that Deion Lewis, I mean, to me, they can both catch the ball very well. They can both run routes decent. I don't really know how Deion Lewis, it's been a while since he's played, so he might still be a bit behind on some of those things. But to me, I don't know. He's by far the better back. He's very good.
Yeah, right. So, again, I mean, Gillis, we're saying no. Powell and Forte looking like they're out this week, so Elijah McGuire. And then you're basically, you know, going to throw in maybe Jermaine Kearse as a flex option this week.
Right, yeah. And
who would you go
with
this week?
I'd probably put White. I'd probably still put White as my flex option there, too, over Deion Lewis this week. I don't really see the full takeover happening for another maybe about a week or two. I've been saying that for a while now, but you're starting to see it. And yeah. But James White, I think he's perfect to flex. I think you get enough fantasy production out of a lot of these guys. You know, we're talking 10s to 15s.
Let me ask you this. In a PPR league, who do you like better this week, Jermaine Kearse or Kendall Wright?
Oh, Jermaine Kearse by a bunch.
I just had to throw that in there. Okay.
I'd probably start Tim Tebow over Kendall Wright.
Oh, come on. Knock it off now. Now you just be ridiculous.
I really honestly would, though, because I just guy has never done good for me.
It's done well.
Done. Come on. It's never done good.
Okay.
It's
That's
time
just
to start well. Learning Wyoming, Nick.
Oh, well, thank God I live in New York. all right. So next up is a putrid game. The 49ers against the Redskins. So I did see a report saying that Samaje Perine was going to get more involved this week. How much of that do you think is bullshit?
I don't think any of it. I think it's good. I think he'll it doesn't look like Rob Kelly's going to start. I like Chris Thompson a lot this week. I really do like Samaje Perine. I basically like anything with the Redskins jersey this week, though, too. I think they're going to just slaughter them poor 49ers. They're going to have to go all the way to Washington, D.C. to go meet a Kirk Cousins that just had a bye week. It's going to be a pretty rough day, I think, for San Francisco.
Yeah, so would you say, you know, Samaje Perine could be a guy that could be picked up this week?
Yeah, absolutely, and I'd start him.
And start him.
Yep, I would.
Well, okay, Samaje Perine or Wayne Gallman this week?
Samaje Perine, for sure.
Samaje Perine or Alex Collins?
I'd still probably take Samaje Perine.
Wow.
That one's closer. Gallman wasn't even close, but that's only – not that I don't like Gallman and I don't like his talent. I just don't like him in Denver.
All right, very interesting. Very interesting indeed. All right, next up is Tampa Bay, Arizona. So Doug Martin looked pretty damn good out the gate last week against the Patriots. Slowed up a little bit in the second half, but still – yeah, 13 carries, 74 yards, and a touchdown, rocking a 5.7 yards per carry average. This is going to be a good game, I think. Is there anybody here that you're like, I'm not playing this guy, or you have any big starts this week out of this game?
I'm not really any big starts, and I mean, we already covered the guy who I'm really tampering my expectations on this week, and that is Adrian Peterson. I'm not starting him, but I think it's worth mentioning again. Do not start Adrian Peterson this week.
And what about these Cardinals receivers? I mean, you got J.J. Nelson, Jerron Brown, you know, outside of Larry Fitzgerald, and now, you know, Andre Ellington out of the backfield. Really nobody else you could start here, right? Like as their number two receiver.
John Brown, buddy. John Brown's back, and do you know he out-snapped everybody last week?
Oh,
so
yeah?
They're starting to involve him more and more every time, so I really am on board with John Brown, and I know everybody else is Jerron and J.J. Nelson, but I swear that they just forget this connection that Carson Palmer has with this guy. He is fast, and when he's healthy, man, he is good. And it hasn't been like he's been injured. He's had sickle cell problems, so it's a genetic disorder that's been slowing him down. And now that he's starting to get more and more in tune with that, with everything, start him. I'm feeling really good about this guy, and I'm feeling good about him this week. I think he has at least, you know, I'd say 5 catches, probably 80 yards and a touchdown.
You know, this is why I don't like Cardinals receivers, is because it's always somebody different. You know, and I understand what you're saying. You know, yeah, Palmer's got the rapport with Brown, and sure, he has big games here and there, but it's here and there. It's never consistent. It's, you know, and then, like I said, we'll see somebody like J.J. Nelson or Jerron Brown, like one of those two guys the next week. I don't know. You know what I don't understand is why they aren't really grooming one of these guys to be that replacement for Larry Fitzgerald. Because, I mean, come on. Guy can't play next year, can he?
I don't think so. I mean, but man, tell him that. Like, did you see that catch he had in the end zone that won the game the other night?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, it's like watching Big Poppy in his final season as a Red Sox fan. Like, the guy is just balling. And so if he keeps that up, I don't see why he doesn't come back next year. I mean, but I think he leaves on a high note. I think he quits next year.
Yeah. Well, here's a big game for you. L.A. Rams, Jacksonville Jaguars. And I say it's a big game because it's pretty much two teams. I would say that we didn't see this year being this big of leaving this much of an impression, I think, on this season. You have two teams here. I think that one, the offense has come a long way, and the other, the defense is finally showing, like, what happens when you draft in the top 5 defensive players, you know, like for the last 5 years can do, and then making two off seasons worth of moves to get high priced names on your defense. I mean, I think this is finally showing here, you know, and that's, you know, Jacksonville. And then of course the Rams offense. So what do you foretell happening this week in this game?
Man, this is a tough one to predict. Because of just exactly what you just said, I don't know that Jacksonville defense is as real as they have been showing, right? I said it last night. I'll say it again.
Well, Jalen Ramsey is real. I'm sorry.
Jalen Ramsey is for real. He is very good. But I'm saying as a whole, the way they've been gelling, I think a lot of last week what happened was what happened the week before when Antonio Brown threw that fit. That created the cascade that went to Ben Roethlisberger, right? And Ben Roethlisberger said, I don't want to piss Antonio Brown off because he's the best receiver ever. So I'm going to force feed him as many targets as I possibly can in this game. And that's where you saw the 5 picks. He kept every single one of those. I saw the number 84 on the other end of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of that had to do with that game flow. And I think Jared Goff is actually a good enough quarterback to be able to exploit this defense because there wasn't anybody throwing a fit last week, and he's going to be able to throw the ball to all of his receivers as usual. And they still have Todd Gurley back there. So I think the offensive weapons of the Los Angeles Rams actually went out and take out these Jacksonville Jaguars heftily.
You know, all right, we know the running backs in this game are automatic starts in Todd Gurley and Leonard Fournette. Forget the game Todd Gurley had last week. I mean, that's just a product of playing against the Seahawks. You know, it is what it is, right? And then, you know, of course, Leonard Fournette's been an RB1 all season as well. So you got to play them. Now, let's talk about these receivers, though. You got yourselves a headache on your hands. I mean, yes, Marquise Lee is you know, probably the most talented receiver on the Jaguars, but you got Blake Bortles thrown to him. And then, you know, Jared Goff, I think, has been a much better quarterback, but he's still got, you know, he's got to build still relationships with these guys because most of the receivers are, or actually pretty much all the receivers are new to this system and to Jared Goff himself. Maybe they're finally building a bit more of a connection like I've seen with Goff and Kupp, but still not nobody really taking the ball here and becoming a number one target for him. So what can you say about these receivers from both teams?
You know, I like you hit the nail right on the head. You know, you got a lot of newness there, so it's really tough to predict on who he's going to be able to throw to. I mean, you got Sammy Watkins, who is the clear number one. He's the best receiver on the team because he is Sammy Watkins. He's always he's the best on a lot of teams. So then you've got Robert Woods, who is also, to me, better than Cooper Kupp, although I like Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp is also fantastic. He's a really good football player, too. The problem is just you've got so many mouths to feed on both teams that really the only people that I'm confident starting is the Leonard Fournettes and the Todd Gurleys. Until you start getting a little bit more consistent rapport with these guys and they start, I mean, Cooper Kupp, he would have lit it up last week if he'd have caught that touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
That was so close, and that's not a ball he typically drops. I like Marquise Lee. What do you think about, have you heard all the rumors about Eli Manning possibly going to the Jacksonville Jaguars?
No, I have not heard this rumor.
You have not heard this rumor. What do you think about that?
In what scenario would he actually go down there?
Well, Tom Coughlin is the...
Well, yes, but like what, like in a, like this season, or you mean for next season?
Yeah, no, they're talking about in the next couple of weeks is what I was reading. And again, this is all rumor and speculation. I read a lot of crazy stuff on the internet, so...
Well, first off, I know my wife wouldn't be happy if she heard that Eli Manning got traded to the Jaguars. But as far as that actually taking place, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't foresee that in the next couple weeks. We reading about how the Giants traded. I mean, what would they get? It would have to be at least a first-round pick. Not that Eli's worth that at this point, but I would think that there's no way they trade him for really less.
Well, when you look at how bleak the outlook is in New York, that's what really makes the most sense to me for this, if this was to ever occur, right? The only reason that this were to occur is because, well, might as well, you know, you already started out at 0-5. Might as well try to shoot for that top waiver pick, go for a quarterback and rebuild. Franchise Odell Beckham, do the right things. I mean, you've got a lot of good pieces out there, but you don't have all the right pieces. So I could see it happening. It'd have to be a draft pick. You'd have to go for a first or second. Probably a first and a fifth, something like that, would probably be worth an Eli Manning, I'd bet.
Right,
quarterbacks
exactly.
Aren't a dime a dozen. I mean, and good quarterbacks definitely aren't a dime a dozen. And that guy's a Manning still. At the end of the day, that guy's still a damn Manning. And so he fetches the price.
Exactly. And, you know, and the Giants are going to know that, you know, Tom Coughlin wants to have Eli Manning down there, so they're not just going to give him away.
Right. Yeah.
So
no,
it's
got
to be something
to trade for. Is for the future.
Exactly. All right. So we got a couple more games. Let's try to power through at least to the Sunday night game. We got three more games. All right. So Steelers Chiefs. We just talked about the Steelers. 5 interceptions for Ben Roethlisberger. I would say this would be an interesting game, but I really think this is going to be another Kansas City win. Going 6-0.
I think Kansas City is going to win, but I almost feel like Pittsburgh is going to come out and upset them. The mood is right for the upset. You've got a pissed off Big Ben. You've got an offense that's just so good at football that has not looked good at football this whole entire season.
I know, but the other thing is it's in Kansas City.
In Kansas City at the Chiefs, who are just on fire right now. This would be the upset of upsets if it happens, but this is my upset of the week. I'm calling for Pittsburgh to win in Kansas City. Crazy. I know. Don't take my advice.
My upset
start Pittsburgh Steelers. Don't do anything like that. But
my upset of the week is Jets over Patriots.
See, and I don't think that that's an upset.
See, I do.
I think the Jets can beat the Patriots this year, and I think they've proven they can beat them. Like, they're a better football team almost this year.
Ew, let's not get carried away. Jets are not a better football team than the Patriots.
The way the Patriots have been playing, I don't know.
I hear you.
It won't continue that way. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I'm sorry. I do not see the Steelers beating Kansas City in Kansas City, especially after that kind of a performance. I mean, I don't think their guys are going to be unstartable. I can't say start Ben Roethlisberger.
No, don't start Ben Roethlisberger.
Right, but you're gonna start Hill, you're gonna start Kelsey, you're gonna start Hunt, and I'd even start Alex Smith.
Yeah, to me, you have to start Alex Smith. He's proved that he's startable every week.
I don't know if he's startable every week. I want to see. My one concern is he's been looking real good in his primetime games, and he's been in what, three primetime games this season?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, so three primetime games we've seen him in. He's looked great in all three. He looked okay, I remember, at least in one of his non-primetime games. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but so I want to see how this game turns out. It is a 4 o'clock game though, so it might be game of the week, so maybe it will be considered primetime. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, and I mean, to me, Alex Smith, with his rushing and what he's been doing out of the pocket, to me, he is a must-start every week.
Yeah, I mean, 23 carries for 108 yards. That's what Alex Smith is doing just on the ground.
Right.
It's not bad for a quarterback. All right, let's go on to L.A. Chargers, Oakland Raiders. Yikes. You think Derek Carr is going to play this week?
I do. Yeah, it looked like he wanted to play last week, so I do think he does play this week.
Man, it's just rough because you think about it. He's being kind of rushed back into playing, don't you think? I mean, he had the fracture in his back. I mean, he only had 1 week off. I think this is enough time for him to look like, you know, Derek Carr.
Do you know who that reminds me of? Is Odell Beckham. I'm fine. I'm fine. Just put me in, coach. I want to go play football. So that's where my worry is about that. Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. I don't think he's the guy you can slow down as far as that goes. I think if he says he wants to play, they have to listen to him. I mean, he's got him kind of around his finger.
You can't start him this week, though.
I don't think I could. Yeah, no, I don't think I'd start him. I'd start Crabtree. I'd hesitantly start Cooper. I do think he could actually have a week this week, but I think he could also have five drops like he's had every week before then. I think
boy, did I call Amari Cooper being a bust this year. And so far he's proven me right. I mean, in five games, he has 13 catches for 118 yards and a touchdown. That's brutal.
Yeah. Yeah. It just does not look good. And I mean, he's typically a slow starter, but I mean, they keep saying, well, he's slow start. He isn't going to catch, you know, he'll catch him. Like, he's been getting the targets. He's just been dropping them. His head is somewhere else. He's not himself this year. But I do think he can pull it together. I mean, he still is a premier receiver, in my opinion. He's fast. When he can catch, he catches the ball great, runs it down the field great. You know who I'm excited about, though, this week is Keenan Allen. Ooh.
I'm with you because I have him on a lot of teams. So I'm hoping with this terrible Oakland secondary, he can get something done, make up for his performance last week.
Right. Yeah. See, and I mean, that's where I'm at with Keenan Allen right now. Like, dude, pick it up. I picked you up on a lot of teams. Show me why I had the faith. And I think this is the week he does it.
Well, I'm certainly with you. The only problem is it's a division rivalry game, and it's hard to predict division rivalry games to me. Even with, you know, the stats laid out there, I really toss those stats out the window because it's just there's no point in really going by the book. A lot of the scores the stats as far as, you know, their pass defense or rushing defense, you know, you're never really going to see that in these division rivalry games. A lot of times it's like a blowout or high scoring game or like we saw the Vikings Bears game. I mean, it was starting out slow and You know, even though this, even though the Vikings offense is a pretty high powered one, you know, so there's a lot of things in division rivalry games I don't like to try and predict.
Right. Yep. Nope. I completely agree with that. I think this one will actually be more on the high scoring end because these both of these defenses have a tough time slowing things down. Although you don't really score a lot of points against either of these teams, too. I just feel like they're going to score a lot of points. They're the heated division rivalry. I'm right there with you.
All right, last game before we wrap this up, guys. And it's going to be a quick one anyways because it's the Sunday night game, New York Giants versus Denver Broncos in Denver. My wife is sitting here, but I have to say sorry. This is not going to be a good game for the Giants.
This would be the upset of the week if the Giants could do anything against this team. Like,
I agree. If they're able to somehow, the Giants are able to somehow upset the Broncos, it would be amazing. I would have more questions about what happened with Denver than I did about how the Giants got it done, just because it's like.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. I've just never seen such a game script rewritten, pre-written so well. I mean, it's not like I'm excited about a bunch of Broncos here either, because Giants still, I mean, they still do have a decent defense, although they're on the field so dang much, it's hard for them to be effective. But you don't really get a lot of points against them.
But this week could be one of those weeks where, I mean, the defense, you got to understand the Giants defense is going to be on the field way more, I think, than they have been at all this entire season. Just
58
with
minutes.
Yeah. I mean, you think about it. I mean, there's no more receivers they have right now. Their rushing game was already suspect to begin with. So the offense at this point is probably, unfortunately, one of the worst offenses in the league. Without Odell Beckham, without Brandon Marshall, without Sterling Shepard, without those guys to make the receiving game great, they got nothing.
They need Keanu Reeves and the replacement players.
Exactly. So, yeah, I'm going to say start your Broncos.
Start C.J. Anderson. Start your Emmanuel Sanders. Start Demaryius Thomas. I'm really not too confident on Simeon, but he's worth a flex, or not really a flex play, but a streamer look.
Yeah, I like Simeon in this game. Like I said, I mean, the Giants defense is just going to be worn out this game.
Yep. Yeah, they're going to be on the field a lot.
It's in Denver.
Aqib Talib in Denver.
Gotta love Denver's defense this week.
Maybe they'll take him a little easy on it because it's Peyton's little brother. Maybe. Yeah, I doubt it too. The spread on that game is Denver's favored by 13.
Well, I don't know, man. That could be one of those games where, because I hate when spreads are like that, because normally they're not right, but that could be one where they are. So.
Right. Yeah, I almost want to pay the over for that one.
All right, Mike. Well, that's all the time we have for tonight's episode. Oh, that stinks. But I think we got a lot covered. We covered a lot of the storylines of each game. Basically told you some of the guys we like this week, we don't. You know, maybe didn't get to every guy. But don't worry, if we didn't get to every guy that you want or you still have questions, you can always reach out to us on sleeperwire.com. You can check out also our rankings. All of our episodes are on up there. You can reach out to us on Twitter at sleeperwireshow. You can follow me at sleeperwirenick. Or you can reach out to me on Superbot at SWNick. Where can they find you, Mike?
Oh, you can find me at Dirty Jobs on Sleeperbot and on Instagram. And you can find me at DrKane21 on the old Twitter. And on Sundays, don't forget, we have the Sunday Morning Blitz. We go from 10:45 to 12:45 Eastern Time. We take your questions live. We take your phone calls. We get all your questions on Sleeperbot off of Fantasy Live. And we answer them all for you right there. Live on the show.
All right. There you go. Getting it right, finally. You guys should have heard before Mike edited it out. He just couldn't get that one right. Maybe we'll add that as a blooper clip.
Time zones.
All right, guys. Well, Mike, thanks for joining me on tonight's show. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun, Nick. It's always good talking football with you. I'm glad you're back.
Thanks. Same here, man. For Mike, I'm Nick Sumwell saying so long, everybody. Good night.
champions from the Sleeper Wire Fantasy Football Show will help you win your fantasy football championship. Sleeper Wire, Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern. Sleeper Wire on Dash Talk.